Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
Now, let's first of all wish everybody a happy new year.
Yes.
This will be going out the first week of January. My New Year's Eve was a non-event.
Yep.
One of the things that sort of comes to mind is everyone's talking about New Year's resolution. I mean, every radio DJ you tune into is New Year's resolution, New Year's resolution. And I think 2020 showed us that maybe planning that far ahead is probably not the best idea in the world, because things happen.
Yeah.
2020 happened.
Yeah.
So maybe we're all just parking our New Year's resolutions. Mine, for example, is just to reacclimatize. Like, I used to live right downtown, did loads of walking, walked to and from the office. So I have to find a way of reintroducing fitness into my life because I'm not walking anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes and no, it could be hard. It's hard to say because, I mean, you also don't have a car and you live in the suburbs. So, I mean, there's going to be challenges there.
Yeah. Now, there is one man who has leaned on something to adjust and relax and fall asleep. And it has himself wondering, does it make him gay?
I have no idea where this is going.
You don't know where this is going. So there is a man on Reddit who identifies as straight, as a straight man. And don't get me wrong, lots of straight men use Reddit.
Yeah.
That's not what makes him gay.
okay,
being in a homosexual relationship would make you gay.
Mm-hmm.
But using Reddit does not. They're not mutually exclusive, so okay. There we go. But this man posts on Reddit, and he goes, is it gay if you are falling asleep every night to men whispering ASMR in your ear, sort of reassuringly? Does that make you gay?
No. I think, actually, this is a pretty common habit. Like, a lot of truck drivers, a lot of people who work night shift, a lot of people who work from home listen to podcasts, because having strangers' voices in the area is very comforting. It's more comforting than being completely alone, not as comforting as being in good company. But if you are completely alone for long periods of time, you can actually go loopy. There is a thing known as third man syndrome. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
No, I haven't.
The first clear recording of it is when climbed Everest, and he was isolated for so long he was completely convinced there was somebody there with him, to the point where he poured two cups of tea every morning and broke his sandwich in half and handed it to somebody who wasn't there.
Wow.
But he just knew in his heart of hearts that somebody was there, and it seems to be this weird psychological coping mechanism that can happen. Seriously, look it up. It's really fascinating, the history of third man syndrome, because they started going through history and finding a whole bunch of other instances that are probably that. Anyway, avoiding going
insane
that far in a, well, I don't want to say insane, in a very mentally special direction, for which there is a return, because there comes a point where you're like, oh yeah, no, that person didn't exist. Like, you know that it's hallucination. So if you know you're hallucinating, then you're not that bad. It's just a good way of avoiding that. And men's voices, women's voices, they have different timbres, they have different tones. So maybe if you're looking for sleepy time, like, there's one YouTuber who plays Minecraft, and he is just instant nap time for me. He seems like a decent guy to hang out with, but his shows are very just soothing, him talking as he's like, well, I'm going to put some sandstone here.
Well, there is the program director at CHSR FM in Fredericton, which this show is carried on.
Right.
Has the most illustrious, deep-toned voice
that
ever did radio. Right. I can't do it justice, but he says he could just read the weather, and I would just be like, yes, I'm going to just go to sleep in this. But so ASMR, for those who aren't familiar, just Google it. People make millions off of just like making noises on a microphone.
That's what it stands for.
It's the Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. So imagine when you've heard something or almost got chills, sort of like where your hair stands on end and you get like a little shiver. I always thought it was when a ghost crosses your grave.
Well, that's actually called sonorous piloerection.
Okay.
Literally, hair standing on its end due to noise. Because there's a field of musical piloerection studying people who get, I'm not going to say orgasmic, but like pseudo chills, very pleasurable physical experiences, not in the genitals, from listening to music. It's about 80% of the population can experience this. And there's a field of study based around this. So this guy is getting it from men's voices. Is he actually getting
the... It's very specifically men whispering.
Okay.
So there is one, Sad Boyfriend Needs Your Love, ASMR Boyfriend Roleplay. I'm going to play you a short clip of this particular ASMR.
Normally when we do this,
and
by
this
the way...
this is what he goes to sleep with.
Normally we pause and then we just keep recording. Because I've listened to it before. I've not actually heard this, so can we actually listen to this?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I guess I can always count on you to make me feel better, huh? When really it should be me making you feel better.
Okay. So the commenters, and I kind of agree with them. Mm. If you're defaulting to just... male boyfriend roleplay, there maybe is something there you want to dig into a little deeper. You know, if that's your go-to male boyfriend roleplay, you need to have a... You want to take that somewhere to pull the slices of bread apart and see what's in the middle.
That could also just be daddy issues. That clip you played for
me... I know. I was getting daddy issues from that.
Like, yeah.
And I think that really speaks to...
The other thing, though, is that... I guess you could call him voice actor, was really heavy on the vocal fry. So vocal fry is when you're talking like this. And
I think TikTok does call it the creep voice, or doing the croak.
It's creep. Sometimes called croaking or vocal creep, but vocal fry is the one of the technical terms for it. Well, vocal fry if it's at the end of the sentence, like that.
Hmm.
So Canadians are known for vocal fry. Women do vocal fry more than men, and young people do vocal fry more than older people. So having a young man do vocal fry kind of implies, from like this very subtle subconscious way, kind of an effeminate young man, which would make it a very gay thing. If you listen to drag queens, they do so much croaking and vocal fry.
Alaska
at the end of the sentence.
Thunder, is renowned for this.
So I mean, there is all sorts of weird features to that example in particular. I'm sure there's something else you could find. Like if you're into like men speaking low, like I would definitely say listen to The Internet Historian. Like his accent gets me pregnant.
Like... You've had twins already. But for me, what it speaks to, I think it's hilarious that this man is having a crisis of sexuality from listening to a reassuring male voice.
Mm.
And I think what we need to do as Canadians, as you could be gay, straight, pan, a suspect, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We all need attention from... you know, folks around us, you know, that could be male attention. It could be female attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot to be gained there. You know, I think men need to be more comfortable speaking softly and sweetly to each other than they are, you know, because conversations like what we just heard in that clip do not happen too often among straight men. And I think maybe
or
we need
anyone.
To...
Who talks like that? Because you are making promises that someone's going to cash in on. And most people are too lazy to talk like that, even to their lovers.
Well, yeah, maybe.
That's just pillow talk, baby.
My point is, maybe we need to take the sexuality out of this and just talk about how we need to have men speaking to each other and communicating in a different way.
It makes me think of those old late 1900s silver plate and lithograph photographs of cowboys and Victorian gentlemen like sitting on each other's laps and draping all over each other. And everyone's like, oh, look at these Victorian gay couples. Most of them were not gay couples. It's just men were more physical back then.
They were companions.
Yeah.
I think we should bring back companions.
Yeah, but people are going to get weird about it.
Because like friends, okay. But companions, that's like one step. I've been watching Downton Abbey recently.
Okay.
And in the movie... what's her face has a companion, and there's no sexual thing there at all.
No,
but it's just a close friend, a bosom buddy.
Both when I was in Hong Kong and in Japan, I saw students sitting on each other's laps, just on their friend's laps, and it was like, well, that's pretty intimate. And they're like, they're out of seats, so they're just gonna share a chair. It was just he wanted to sit, the other one wanted to sit, they're best friends, so why not? And that was just their world.
Everything doesn't have to be so crazy sexual.
Yeah.
If you doze off to sleep with some man speaking softly into your ear, then that's cool. You do you, guy. You do you.
I mean, you could also listen to podcasts and learn something while you're
this
at it.
This is true, yeah. You can find us at Podbean, Can Queer. We are a podcasted radio show.
Yeah.
So you can never miss a beat when you subscribe. Smash that like button. I don't know how you do this. Everyone says that. And who is smashing buttons? I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems overkill. But yes, feel free to subscribe. We will try to be alluring and maybe not put you to sleep, but certainly offer some kind of discussion. Now, I do want to say there's been some crazy news and some not great news. I'm going to just skip the bad news for this week because I don't want it. Let's jump to the first song. Nothing terrible has happened. I'm not depriving people of world news. I'll spill the beans. There was a party in Brazil.
Is this another Legs Up party? Oh, actually, there was an update on the Legs Up party, by the way.
There was an update on the Legs Up party?
It was something that came out very slowly because it had to be reconfirmed because it started off as a bizarre rumor and it wasn't included in the original story because it's not really part of the story. Turns out when the police first arrived to this infamous Belgian Legs Up party, the attendees assumed that somebody hired a stripper. So they tried to remove the arresting officer's clothes, which is why it escalated as heavily as it did, was because there was this huge misunderstanding about the nature of the arrest. So just a nice little flavor. And that's also why people were jumping out the windows, because it was just panic mode. Because like, haha, cops, yeah, take it off, baby. Oh, dang, it's a real cop.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that could, I mean, when you're expecting a stripper and you get actually arrested.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can see how.
Or sexy firefighters come in and you're like, yeah, baby. And they're like, no, listen, there's carbon monoxide.
Oopsie-daisy. But yeah, no, the story I was referring to was a gay circuit party in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
Gay circuit parties are renowned for gay men of limited attention to public safety just having a huge party, usually fueled by some kind of intoxicants.
Yeah.
Now, according to the event's website, let's have a look here. The organization said that all security protocols required by public agencies were being strictly followed. However, 2,000 people showed up for this, almost none of whom were wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm, of course.
So the police then immediately shut it down and ejected all of the coronavirus superhosts.
Not even puppy masks?
I mean, that would make sense, but I don't think it does much in terms of filtering.
No, but you can wear... Actually, this is something that I was thinking about some time ago. If you were to wear, like, a balaclava or, like, a luchador mask and, like, a cover-your-nose-and-mouth mask, would you wear that over or under? I would wear it under, but then you'd have that, like, black circle.
Hmm.
It'd look weird, yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
Things you think about. All right, let's jump to our first song. This is Alison Krauss, All Your Favorite Bands. It is a cover of a song. This is featuring Sarah Melanie White, and we shall be back just after this.
Late night drives and hot French fries and friends around the country, from Charlottesville to good old Santa Fe. When I think of you, still got on that hat that says let's party. I hope that thing is never thrown away. I hope that life without a chaperone is what you thought it'd be. I hope your brother's El Camino runs forever. I hope the world sees the same person that you always. Seen you in there for so long.
and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And what a bizarre start to the year. First thing we talk about is male soothing voices drifting you off to sleep.
Well, I mean, there's good news and bad news about social distancing and pseudo-lockdown due to COVID. The good news is there's been a pretty, I don't want to say a significant drop, but there has been a dip in significant news. So not a lot of homophobia, probably. I mean, there's probably more domestic situations, but a lot of those don't really make international news. So the kind of things that would get into the news has slowed down. But on the other hand, that means we don't have as much to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, our show looks at the previous week's news. And In the previous week, we've had both New Year's and Christmas.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot has happened, but some things did happen.
During social distancing, no less. Yeah.
So we did find out that in Halifax at Dalhousie University, mm-hmm. You were correcting me, it's Dalhousie is in Floozy, not Dalhousie is in Housie.
Very well done, yes.
Thank you. The researchers there, including Jacqueline Gahagan, who is the lead researcher, they are creating an archive of Pride and LGBT materials from the mid-1900s, so what we would call the 50s.
Okay.
Weird phrasing here, but the CBC's coverage of it. But yeah, there's newspaper clippings, zines, photos, posters, buttons, personal recordings.
Did you say zines?
Zines, yeah. Whatever. So apparently the idea of creating this archive came out from when Trudeau apologized for the purge. We reported on it extensively at the time. The purge was when members of the military were outed because it was suspected of being gay.
And civil service.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Halifax is a port city. Big naval contingent there, yeah. Big military contingent. So they were definitely highly affected as a city by the purge. A lot of service members kind of booted off their ships and told not to come back again. So yeah, certainly not a great environment, but it certainly means that Halifax has a quite a unique history in terms of how it has been shaped by the purge as a city that was sort of so centered around sailors.
Yes.
I suppose it was. You know, and I think that's interesting. And this archive, the digital content will be all online. We're waiting for them to get it up and running.
Are you deliberately trying to avoid saying gay seamen?
I am. I was, yes.
Okay.
I was trying to keep it classy.
There's a look on your face.
I was not going to mention the seamen.
Okay.
But you have now done that.
Okay, yes.
No, there were lots of seamen in Halifax. But yeah, no, the archive's going to be digital and the physical material, like buttons, flags, etc., will be housed at Dalhousie University.
Okay, good.
I think it's exciting because, I mean, we talked about this a few years ago now, but a lot of the rights leaders, the people who kind of paved the way for LGBT rights in Canada, you know, time's an ever-marching beast. Like, these folks are starting to get a bit older, you know, people are starting to die off just from being old.
Yeah.
And we're losing that history.
Not Betty White, though.
I mean, she's invincible.
She turned 99 last week.
She is immortal.
She's going to outlive the Queen.
Betty White is immortal. I think that's a truth.
I think the Queen is immortal. She's just pickled with cigarettes and gin.
She didn't really smoke.
What do you think's in her purse? She has a little handbag that she carries.
She's a five a day kind of gal.
Like. Yeah. Like, what do you think is in her little clutch? Not keys. She lives in a palace with, like, butlers and stuff. Not, like, the keys to her car. She gets driven anywhere. Not her wallet, because, like, she has an assistant who's just, like...
She is the only person in the world that does not require a passport.
Because she is the passport.
She is the passport. Yeah. Random factoid. All passports in Britain are issued in the name of the Queen. So it'd be weird for her to have a passport issued in the name of herself.
Do they just get like an empty picture frame and put it around her face?
Put it up. She has to get a blank piece of paper placed behind her.
And look,
and
like,
she can't, she's not allowed to smile.
Sideways, like, put up the picture frame around her face, look sideways.
Yeah, she goes to border control. You may recognize me from stamps. But no, that's where do we get from here? I don't even know. But yes, let's change the subject.
Right.
Back to some good story. Well, actually, yeah, let's do a good story. BC if you are going into court in BC, British Columbia,
yes,
and you are represented by lawyer Sam White, and you are...
Is this a for instance or is this a...
This is a for instance. Okay. Your lawyer is Sam White and your name is Alex Jones. Alex Jones and Sam White. Now, you go to the court and the court requires
yes.
that you write your names
right.
and how you pronounce them.
Okay.
Pronunciation guide, very important.
Mm-hmm.
But now... Oops. But now, in BC, they're also going to ask for your pronouns and how you would like to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alex Jones and Sam White could be a man, could be a woman, mm-hmm. could be anything, really, because it's a gender-neutral name. Both of them are gender-neutral names.
I mean, really, all names are gender-neutral if you believe in yourself. Like,
if you commit to it.
Leslie, Hillary, and Paris, until the 60s, were all men's names.
Yeah, yeah. Leslie absolutely was yeah. was a man's name for a long time.
So many people think of Paris. They think of Paris Hilton. But Paris is, like, the main character of the Iliad.
Mm. And Hillary. I never got around that being a man's name.
I used to know a Hillary.
You knew a Hillary?
I knew a male Hillary, yeah.
You knew a male Hillary. Yeah. Wow. If you're a man named Hillary, let us know. You may have a job in ASMR.
He's a really good photographer.
Okay.
He was fun at parties, yeah.
Okay, I kind of wish I knew this male Hillary. All right. But no, I mean, honestly, there are some trans lawyers in BC, and for them, they're like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because now the judge isn't going to be misgendering me, which distracts from the case at hand.
Well, generally speaking, when you're in conversation, you don't really use pronouns because you're just addressing directly the person you're speaking to. But the court records,
mm-hmm.
You have the stenographer there and there'll be a lot of he said, she said, you'll have cross-examination.
Yeah.
You'll
say, and you need to know who the he is and who the she is
yeah,
for the
so
he said, she said.
Because there is a lot of speaking directly to somebody but using the third person, this is something that definitely makes sense, for sure. And I think in England, you have to introduce yourself as Mr. or Miss something.
Yeah.
So they kind of have it covered, but like going that extra step and saying like, as you write my name down in the records, please use the following pronouns.
Well, the
like,
court requires it.
Yeah, just making
so
a little bit more
So what's your
explicit.
Name? How'd you pronounce it? What's your pronoun? What do you prefer to be dressed as?
Yeah.
You know, you may have a knighthood, and maybe you prefer to be addressed as Sir Sam White, or Lady Alex Jones, or whatever these names are I made up. You know, and I think that all of these just make sense. You know, it isn't necessarily just for trans folks. It could be for all of the female lawyers called Sam and all of the male lawyers called Hillary, you know.
Or just someone with a non-European name.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's not intuitive.
Yeah, well, I mean...
For someone who's not European.
I mean, my favorite one is that in Japanese, you've got the woman's name Yuki, and that means snow.
Oh.
It's a very beautiful name. And then you've got the man's name Yuki, which means courage.
Oh.
Now, if you speak Japanese, Yuki and Yuki are pronounced differently.
Rather differently, yes, yeah.
But if you don't have that trained ear, it's just going to be Yuki.
Mm.
So, I mean, when I hear Yuki in an anime, I'd be like, well, that's a man, clearly. But it's because I lived there and I knew Yukis and I knew Yukis. So, I mean, it's all fine to me. But, like, if you don't speak English as a first language, or even if you do, but you don't have an English name.
You say that. I speak English as a first language. I was born in Wales.
Allegedly.
I was born in Wales, and we have been domineered by the English since the 1200s.
Mm-hmm.
And they are quite insistent on imposing the language. Now, a big part of that is I also have quite an English name, Luke
yeah.
Smith. Luke yeah. Smith. But if I go into any Starbucks, anywhere in the world, but maybe not anywhere, anywhere in Canada, any Starbucks, what's your name, Luke? Sorry, Nick? No, I did not say Nick at any point. Did I say Nick? But they always mishear Luke as Nick
Your
without
accent
fail.
Isn't that strong?
I know. And it's really annoying because my name is also actually Nick. And then it's like, well, you're not wrong,
yeah.
but I don't go by Nick. Also, are you psychic? But no, it's just every time.
I usually say Rihanna because they're asking for a name, not your name.
Yeah, they're not running your credit check.
Yeah.
They don't need to know exactly who you are.
You can... once I was Mr. Bubbles, and so they had to announce to a busy room that Mr. Bubbles had his coffee ready. So that was...
See, I was going to go with like Jean-Philippe, just because I don't know. Like, you can't mistake that name when you hear it.
No, it's also my cousin's
name. Oh, Bob.
But everybody calls him JP.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe Bob or Jean-Philippe. Let us know. Do you have trouble with Starbucks orders being misnamed or misgendered or just misnomered? Let us know at Top Cancria. And we will go.
I'm alarmed Ontario hasn't done this yet because our court system tends to be a little bit ahead of the curve.
I know the BC Court of Human Rights, they have been making some pretty strident decisions.
Okay.
I think in BC's case law, being trans is just established fact.
Yeah.
Trans folks exist. Let's move on.
It is what it is.
You know, is what it is. Let's just get past this malarkey and focus on some of the next issues of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, that decision was done, dusted, and the courts have just moved on with life.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that, a rather non-eventful part of that, is just making sure they know who they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Name, pronunciation, pronoun, preferred designation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's newsworthy, and, you know, we have elaborated on why it's newsworthy, but, you know, it's just...
Well, there's a lot of things out there, like last episode, well, the last episode we recorded, not the last episode we broadcast, where it was revealed that Switzerland now has same-sex marriage, and our answer was, wait,
finally,
they didn't?
Yeah. I mean, it did take them a while.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, over the break, we mentioned that not much happened, but the Manitoba Métis Federation have introduced the non-binary option on their citizenship cards.
Okay.
So for the Métis folk across Manitoba and members of that nation members of that federation,
mm-hmm.
who are dispersed across Canada, that is a big deal.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
if they are trans and non-binary.
Especially given the history of Manitoba, that it's like the first officially Indigenous province in Canada.
But like, if you look historically. At federally, that's been in place for about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Okay.
Being able to put X on your passport, or they're working on it. I forget exactly where it is. We've covered this news on and off for years. It's hard to have a rolling memory of every single reference. However, you know, this has come up across Canada. And now, I mean, it's great that the the Manitoba Métis Federation has made this. And we celebrate them and we think it's great news. But does it stand out on its own when the conversation Canada-wide has been sort of moving on from here? So, I mean, yeah, sometimes it's hard to see these stories as being big news because, like, they tend to get lost in the noise.
Yeah. Yeah, or the significance isn't as immediately obvious.
Now, there was a story I want to pick up on before we jump to our next break. In New York, the state of New York has now decided that places like restaurants, you know, grocery stores, shopping, any facility run by the state of New York.
Okay.
If you just have a small room with a single washroom in it,
yeah,
single stall washroom,
mm-hmm.
that washroom is gender neutral.
Yes.
Now, put another way, the state of New York has decided not to gender police single stall washrooms. Which, when you put it that way, you're like, well, yeah, that's the most obvious thing in the world.
Well, I mean, but I don't think anybody, if it's a single stall, I don't think people really pay attention. Because, I mean, my favorite story about this is Jess, who was on our New Year's episode.
She was on the Big Gay Quiz of the Year.
She used to work at a small cafe, and there would be a lineup for the girls' bathroom, and the men's bathroom would be empty. And she'd be like, use the other one. And they'd say, that's the men's washroom. And she would say, that is a washroom. It is only a man's washroom when there's a man in it, because it is a single-use washroom.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like there's a, you know, a row of them or multiple units or urinals. No, they are just single-use washrooms. And for me, it just doesn't make any sense. Because we all go in and we do this relatively the same business when we're in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes people are gross.
People are gross.
But you're only in there by yourself.
So you're only in there by yourself. Yeah. Exactly. And it is a public convenience. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a significant move by the state of New York to kind of mandate this. Like, look, guys, if you have a single stall washroom, there is no reason for it to be gendered. Like, I remember going to university, and on one floor, there would be a single-stall washroom that was male.
Yeah.
And then on the other floor was a single-stall washroom that was female.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
What is the point of this?
Yeah,
like, it don't make no sense.
Especially if, well, no, because, or there was the, you know, you had the single men's, the single woman's, but if it was the wheelchair accessible one, then it was just...
That was gender neutral.
Whomever!
Because they don't want to make more than one of those, yeah. Do they? Because they're bigger. So yeah, it's just ridiculous. Very absolutely peculiar, ridiculous. Yeah. Now, I remember going to, I think it was UBC in Vancouver was the campus home to CITR-FM. We are on CGSF. FM mm-hmm. at Simon Fraser, but over at UBC in Vancouver, I was in one of their brand new buildings, and you kind of turn a corner to find the washrooms, and they are just like really tall. It's a row of tall doors, and like, well, not like the door, but it looks like tall doors, and behind each door is just a toilet.
Okay.
And then you step out and there is a long bank of mirrors and sinks. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And it was a gender neutral washroom because even though they had like 15 of these toilets all in a row, each single toilet was like walled off behind a door.
Floor to ceiling.
Floor to ceiling. Got yeah. It. And it was very private. You definitely.
With good ventilation, I should
Yes,
hope.
I would hope so. Okay, good. But I was like, this is interesting. This is a novel use of the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was impressed by it. But yeah, so I don't know. It stood out to me.
But then what about that very special time where men go to the washroom and ignore each other?
Oh, right. Yeah. The whole urinal three rule where you can't stand next to each other. It's just so awkward.
And then there's the women going to the washroom to complain about the men.
Mm.
That's kind of... It's a bit of a stereotype, but it's also not.
So I do want to jump to a story that came out in Japan, and I think maybe you can add a little... color to this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story in Japan that a study that had over 10,000 LGBT folks, it was a private study.
Okay.
They found that 38% of them had reported being sexually harassed
okay.
or assaulted.
Now, did the person who assaulted them know that they were LGBT? And were they assaulted by other people who are LGBT? Or, like, what are the details of this study?
Because now, the who doing the assaulting isn't clear.
Okay.
But 38%, almost 40% of 10,000
mm-hmm.
is an astonishingly high number.
It is. It is. And Japan has actually been dealing with this for a while. The Japanese term is sekuhara, which literally is just sexual harassment, but like abbreviated into Japanese syllables. They've been having this problem for quite some time. Like I'm pretty sure people know about like there's train cars that have women only in them because they had problems with groping and upskirt shots on the train and all sorts of horrible stuff. So some of this is unfortunately just daily business. There's also onsen culture. So that's the public baths. And generally speaking, onsens are very neutral, family-friendly environments. They are not sexualized like they probably would be here. They are considered to be a family environment. But if it's just you and one other person, there is a long-standing history of people doing bizarre stuff because they believe they can get away with it. So some of this, I think, is just endemic of Japan just dealing with an issue, a widespread cultural issue of sexual harassment, just sort of amped up.
Mm-hmm.
Most things that happen to LGBT people are common issues, but to uncommon degrees. So... but I mean, like, as far as Japan's concerned, they don't have shootings, they don't have big stabbings, they don't have places getting firebombed. Like, a lot of the Western issues, they've got their own different batch of issues, and I think a lot of them are pretty grateful that they're dealing with something a little bit more, less... life-destroying and more
You say that, but according to the same study, over half, 52.8% of the people who had experienced the assault have gone and seen psychiatrists, which is huge. It's not like, it's not the done thing in Japan.
No, it really isn't, no. So, okay.
And 48% of the people who hadn't had the sort of serious assaults also went and saw a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And of the 10,000 total respondents, it was about 30% of them had all gone to see psychiatrists for support, you know, because of the volume of these assaults. Yeah, I mean, we won't go into details about what people indicated were some of the assaults, but it wasn't just, you know, a relationship gone wrong.
Okay.
You know, they're talking wanton violence.
Okay.
And really high numbers, especially among trans women.
Okay.
And quite high among trans men.
Okay.
But yeah, this is interesting. I think that was reported in a whole bunch of Japanese newspapers.
Okay.
I was actually pulling the information from Japan Today, for example.
Oh.
So yeah, it's. I wonder now if Japan is having this sort of reckoning with where they're at. And I think that LGBT livelihoods are being discussed across the whole of Asia. So in China this week as well, because Asia was less disrupted by Christmas. you know, in China, they're having conversations about the fact that the Chinese Communist government is starting to almost crack down on LGBT spaces and ideas. And they have forced, for example, hormone replacement therapy for trans folks into the gray market.
Okay.
So it's so difficult to get legally and through your doctor because of the Chinese state government lockdown that they're starting to look into the sort of shady areas to get access to their healthcare needs. And it's leading to a lot of trans folks in China really putting their lives at risk, which is quite a concern. And there's also concern about people in Chengdu. Yeah, Chengdu. Now, France 24 and others have been sort of looking at this this city.
Mm-hmm.
It is the sort of largest southwestern city. It's massive now. I mean, people blink and the city grows 10 times the size in China. They're very fast growing.
Yeah.
But it was known sort of in the whole of southwest China, southern China, as the place to go if you're gay.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, the Beijing isn't paying too much attention. And, you know, there were multiple gay bars around.
Yeah, yeah.
And so on and so forth. So a lesbian bar, a gay bar, LGBT board games, for example. It was called Gaydu by Chinese millennials. As a reference to the city.
Okay.
But one of the things that they found was with international travel being locked down.
Yeah.
In certain towns and places, you get familiar with what's permissible in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know how far you can push the line.
Yeah.
And especially in places where there are strict rules or repressive regimes.
Yeah.
So the folks at Chengdu knew that they were very lucky to have these places, that the administration is taking a bit of a blind, turning a bit of a blind eye to these clubs and gatherings, not focusing. They got bigger fish to fry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no harm, no foul. Except without international travel to Taiwan, to Hong Kong necessarily, all of the gay folks in mainland China were all going to Chengdu.
Okay.
And as a result, they were sort of highlighting or spotlighting through their increased presence that these things are happening. So now your small bars become to overflow and your small gay events begin to be much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And with everyone concerned around the spread of communicable diseases, especially COVID, these things begin to raise flags with the administration. So yeah, in China, it's frustrating because in cities where there has been a sort of government blind eye paid.
Yeah.
The fact that these lockdowns are sort of causing swells of gayness.
Okay.
in a way. And so now there's a concern that even in these very few safe havens that they're going to be sort of clamped down on. So yeah, I mean, LGBT progression rights, being able to live as a queer person around the world is constantly changing.
It's really complicated in the Chinese context because the Chinese Communist Party is an automatic co-owner of every company. That's how communism works. You seize the means of production, the state owns everything, basically. So if you're doing stuff that does not involve any kind of bankrolling, any kind of space, like if it's just you and a bunch of friends getting together to play Mahjong in your backyard, Chinese government's not going to care. The moment you open a business, a bar, start selling things, buying things, anything, that's when they start paying attention, because you're now an organized group of some kind. You're now institutionalized to some degree, even the smallest degree. Even just selling newspapers on the corner is still institutionalized sales to some degree. That's when they start paying attention. So if you're looking at reports of what it's like being an LGBT person within the borders of China, some of the people who have the happiest lives live in the deep countryside, where it's like them and their wife or them and their boyfriend, and they're just doing their own thing. That's fine. But the moment you start going to organized things, clubs, political groups, bars, board game cafes, because it is an organized institution, that's when the Chinese government becomes interested. So it's really interesting when you look at the daily life of people in China. It ranges from like really excellent to under threat. And it depends on where you are in China, what's going on, what do you participate in. It's pretty complicated.
Your ethnicity.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Big time.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so we're going to take a quick song break here, and we're going to be playing Partners, Here I Am World. I actually chose a couple of these songs. I mean, they're all Canadian. They're all queer folks. Mm. But the songs are sort of, you know, Here I Am. You know, they vibed with me for New Year's. So just the idea of like, let's just get on with it. Let's just move forward. So yeah, I like this song. It's a great new track off their new album. And as I said, Partner, Here I Am, World, and we will be back just after this.
Life is what you make it, even when you make it, well, you're still just making it up. Thought by now, I'd have some better answers, cause by now I thought that I'd be grown up, but I guess I'm not. There never comes a day when everything is perfect, yeah, okay, but there's still a question left in the back of my mind. And each day of life is a precious gift.
So the last story I had, and it's an interesting one. There is a trans woman called Colton, and this is relevant to the story, who was in
Calgary, right?
It's in Calgary, yeah. Right. And went into a women's clothing store
mm-hmm.
in Canada, in Calgary, in Alberta.
Yeah.
Trans women are recognized as women.
Yes.
That's just is what it is. As we mentioned earlier, folks are sort of moving on past that. Now, the thing that kind of jumps out is when Colton asked to wear some, or Colton asked to try on some of the things,
yeah.
the store owner is said to have said that makes shoppers uncomfortable. Now, media reporting on it sort of slowly adds more and more details as you dive into it.
Mm.
And I was able to find Colton's TikTok where they made the original sort of statement to the public.
Right.
They asked Colton Astor to try them on. They had gone in August.
Okay.
Had a sort of a self-protection thing, just said, oh, it's for a girlfriend. Shopping for a female friend. That's fine. Bought a blouse, loved the blouse in August, thinking Christmas season, treat myself, buy another blouse. But I want to try it on, make sure it fits.
Mm-hmm.
So far, everyone listening is like, yeah, of course, you know, you want to make sure if you love the blouse, that the blouse fits. Otherwise, you have to go back, returns, New Year's returns. Nobody wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But was told by the store owner, or by an employee specifically, I think, that that Colton trying them on, specifically Colton, as a trans woman, would make other customers feel uncomfortable.
Well, that sounds like their business.
And then you know, essentially ask Colton to leave. Mm-hmm. But what I liked about Colton's story is the sort of emphasis that she placed on her interviews with the media, on like, look, the next thing I did was a TikTok about all of the awesome stores, all of the local owned like consignment stores and
thrift stores. Yeah.
And you know, and it's like for me highlighting the amazing service, instead of, you know, I'm gonna give you an awful Yelp review, I'm gonna boost these other places.
Direct business to the good places.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's also just really peculiar because even before COVID, retail was on the slide because more and more people are shopping online. So retail's in the slide, and then COVID happens and social distancing, and then we're locked down, and then we're not locked down, and then there's a gentle lockdown, and then there's no lockdown, and then there's a lockdown. Like, why would you turn away business? It's very peculiar. The whole thing is very peculiar. Actually, something that really made me think of this is the challenge of, I guess, what you could call passing privilege.
Yeah.
So I have gone into women's stores before. This is back when I was in my young 20s. I had a different body shape back then. Let's just very politely put it that way. And I would actually wear women's jeans most of the time. And it wasn't some kind of expression of gender neutrality or something. It was, I have long legs for my height. I have a long navel to crotch distance. So I can't remember what the, in tailoring is a name for that. Women's jeans fit me more comfortably.
Yeah.
And they flatter the butt more. More men's jeans have like that diaper hanging over.
Oh, it's awful.
Too much fabric in the butt.
Saggy pant. Oh,
yeah. So no. I wore women's jeans for the longest time. In a lot of places I went to, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, this is not rare.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, well, we'll get a fit for you. This is pretty common. And I know people who've transitioned and they've been on the hormones for years, everywhere they go, no issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't tell, like, it's only a problem if you're trans
and they can tell.
I
get that. And I was thinking about bringing it up in the context of this show, but I kind of lean against it because this isn't about how passable Colton was or wasn't.
Right.
That is irrelevant. You know, Colton could have had a beard.
Yeah.
And be right at step one of their trans journey, or even that's the end.
I mean, I'm a large 6'2" man. Like,
you know, that passability is none of that store owner's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they identify as a woman and they are looking to purchase clothing, we don't know their life story. We don't know everything about them. And it's not our place to kick somebody out the door assuming all of these things about them.
And it's so weird because you get women with more boxy body types wearing men's clothing and it looks fantastic on them. And you have bodybuilders tend to wear women's clothing because they have such tiny waists and such large pecs that like women's clothing fits them more comfortably. A lot of them wear women's undershirts under their stuff. So I mean, like, people have been like, not even as a matter of gender expression, just like wearing each other's clothes for decades.
Yeah.
For various reasons. And why would you turn away business during hard times? Like, everything about it is just...
But I do like that in all of this topic, the media attention because of what Colton has been directing, it is like, look, let's not focus on, first of all, let's not focus on Colton's passability. That's so irrelevant.
No,
we've contextualized, but it's generally irrelevant.
Yeah.
Let's not focus on the fact that this store made that decision, which is wanting. That's a decision that's wanting.
Yeah.
Let's focus on all of these amazing stores where there is great service, where they don't bat an eyelid if you're buying women's jeans. Well, I think that trans folks will probably avoid that particular store from now on.
Yeah.
Because reputation precedes them. So
absolutely, we'll see. Oh, trans people, they talk to each other about where they can and can't go.
Yeah,
I've sat in on those conversations, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be cut out of that. No. So actually, that reminds me, if you are a small business in a sort of rural community or a small town or even in an urban area, and you want to kind of demonstrate clearly to the trans folks in your town, the gay folks, lesbians, whoever it is, that you are a welcoming space. Because like I said, a lot of it is word of mouth.
Yeah.
But that's not always super, you know, reliable. You know, yeah, staff change, things change. The Canadian Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, or the Chamber of Commerce for the LGBT Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
I did an interview a couple of weeks ago with them about their Safe Space program,
right,
which is actually launching this week for when listeners are listening. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they sort of do some training, they do some quality checks, etc. And then you can be designated as an LGBT safe space. And I think there is some things that you can put up on your website and on physical premises. And LGBT folks will be able to search it nationwide. They've teamed up with the government to make it happen.
And people do pay attention to whether or not you put a rainbow sticker on your front door.
Yeah, but this one goes one step further, because anyone can Google and buy a rainbow sticker and shove it on their door. But this one goes...
You're certified.
Yeah, you're certified by, you know, in a government-funded project through a National Chamber of Commerce. Like, it's got a bit of weight behind it. Mm-hmm. So check it out, the LGBT Chamber of Commerce. And let us know. We want to make sure that businesses that aren't being discriminatory are getting that boost, because we really need it right now.
Do you pay attention to rainbow stickers?
I do. I notice it. I clock it when I'm coming in the doorway. Yeah, I notice.
Do you notice when it's not there?
I can't say I notice when it isn't there, but if I see it on my way in, it's like... almost like a serotonin release. You're like, oh, okay, this is a cool space. You know, it's reassuring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I'm more likely to spend money in that place than if I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's peculiar, because sometimes I go into a place where it's like, it's a deli, and you're like, I'm here for like cold cuts and good Polish mustard. Why is that rainbow sticker there? But then you realize that maybe the place next door had an incident.
And this, or maybe it's a queer-owned business.
Maybe, yeah.
And they're just really happy you're buying their sausage.
Yeah.
So let's wrap the show. It has been a bit of a struggle today. Not a huge amount of Canadian news, but it's the... We're looking at news over the winter break. These things happen. Now, we have a whole bunch of interviews lined up for January.
Lucky for us that... Belgian house party's got a lot of legs to it.
All right, we have interviews lined up for January and moving into Feb. We're trying to get some more of those into the show.
Mm-hmm.
We are playing out with Moscow Apartments' New Girl. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thanks for listening.
I'm a new girl now. I should show it off. I should walk myself.